Well, we're doing well this morning. So everyone got their Christmas shopping done? So some hesitancy there. It's like, yes? I braved Canelands yesterday. Did anyone make the mistake and go there? Yes, a couple of people. Shivers. It's a vibe. I think mixed in with the rain too, it's like just crazy town. Anyway, we're getting there. What a beautiful sense of the Lord's presence in this place, amen. Can we just make ourselves aware of Him again? Can we just bless Him and just right where you're at, just begin to pour your love out on Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you that you make yourself known, that you come in close. Lord, we count it such a joy, such a blessing and honor that we can gather together as your bride, as your church, as a family, and that you inhabit our praises, Lord. You don't stand afar off, you come in and you minister to us as we minister to you. Lord, we just love you, we exalt you. We declare that you are Lord over all, you are Lord over this house, you are Lord over our families. Oh, we worship you, we worship you. Keep our eyes on you this festive season, this holiday season, Lord. And we bless your name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak just for a few minutes this morning on Psalm 37. A few years ago, I went through all of the Psalms in chronological order that David wrote and kind of journeyed alongside that in 1 and 2 Samuel, kind of like reading what David was going through as he was writing these Psalms. And Psalm 37 is known as his last Psalm, so his last song that he wrote. So this psalm has been such an incredible encouragement and anchor for me over the years. And, you know, I think of the life of David, who went from shepherd boy to giant slayer, to king, to priest, warrior, father. He lived a full life, didn't he? He saw some things. He wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes. And I think if we could sit down with David at the end of his life, man, I would be like, just, what have you got to say? Like, give me your wisdom. So I think reading through this psalm is there's so much precious wisdom and gold within it. I'd love to just break it down verse by verse, but we'll be here till Christmas Day 2025. So I won't do that, but I've just got a few key verses, 3 to 4. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of his heart. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, delight themselves in an abundance of peace. Verse 16 to 17, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 23, the steps of a good man, I'm sure we've all heard this one before, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. 25, this is how we know that this is in the latter part of David's life. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Thank the Lord for that. 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And the final two verses, 39 and 40, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. There's so much gold in here. And this is one of the Psalms. Most of David's Psalms, as we know, are songs unto the Lord. This one is kind of wisdom and instruction for us. And so again, there's just so much gold in here. Reading through this, I think there's kind of four themes for us to hold on to. There's heaps more, but the four I want to focus on was trust, wait, dwell, delight. Trust, wait, dwell, delight. And there's countless promises attached to these things, that we have a great inheritance from the Lord. It's a lifestyle of surrender and abiding. And I think if anyone modeled this, it was definitely David. There's also opposing themes in this psalm as well about, you know, fretting. Do not fret, do not worry. Don't compare yourselves or look on to those that are doing evil or those that seem to be succeeding. The opposite lifestyle of surrender and abiding is worry, it's comparison. And, you know, throughout this psalm, five times it speaks of our inheritance from living in this lifestyle of surrender and abiding. And then another six times it talks about the consequence of those that are not walking with the Lord. It says that the wicked will be cut off or cut down. You know, there's promises if we stay in the lane of walking in an unrighteous lifestyle. In verse 1 and 2, it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass." Verse 12, "The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. And the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming." There's filled throughout this psalm is consequences if we aren't walking in right standing with the Lord or a lifestyle of righteousness. And I've got a table that I put together. This is just a few of the promises of the Lord for those that are called faithful and righteous, and then some consequences for those that are called wicked and unrighteous. There's a lot more of this. I just tried my best to kind of sum it down. His faithfulness is our food, the desires of our heart given to us, righteous and justice. We inherit the earth, we dwell in it forever. There's an abundance of peace and everlasting inheritance. Being upheld by the Lord, preserved, kept safe. On the other side, doesn't look too good. You should be cut down like grass and wither. Shall be cut off from inheritance, shall be no more. The sword shall enter their own heart. You shall have broken bones and broken weapons. Shall have no future, shall be destroyed, shall be cut down. Anyone want to be on that right side of the... Ooh. Such a stark difference, hey? And like I said, this psalm has been such an anchor for me over the years. You know, whether there was times that I was fretting over finances or worried about the future, or maybe looking on and starting to compare, you know, this person, they're doing really well and you know, I should be at this stage of my life. I'm 30 now. Look at my, you know, mates I went to school with. They're doing this and this and this. What about me? Do not fret. Do not worry. Trust, wait, dwell, delight. So I just want to kind of really quickly just chat on these four themes. And look, you're probably like, bro, Christmas is in 3 days. This is not a festive message. My tie-in is that Jesus is our gift. In him we have all we need, amen. So I'm just going to just share a few things that what's available to us in the Lord. So that's my Christmas tie-in. The first one, trust, holding on to hope. We see this word mentioned three times in this psalm. The first one is verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. I love that. Commit our way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll be the one to bring it to pass. It's not us needing to do it. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I've got heaps of testimonies to share from trusting in the Lord, but one I wanted to share this morning was the story of my wife and I moving here. We moved up from Yeppoon in 2020, January 11th. And I'll try and condense this down for time's sake, but pretty much an opportunity had popped up in our... Nope, rewind. This is me trying to condense things. Let's see how we go. In 1994, I was born. No. we probably 2018, 2019. I grew up in Rocky all my life. Around 2018, 2019, we started to feel a bit of a feeling like something might have been shifting in our hearts, that we there might have been a move coming up, that where we were living, we weren't going to stay there forever. And an opportunity popped up for us to head down south and be involved with a church down there. It sounded great, looked all amazing. So we started to pray into that. And within the space of a few weeks, two friends, they didn't know anything that we were kind of praying about, at two different occasions, one called and said, hey, I was praying for you guys and I really felt that you need to move to Mackay. And but hey, it's going to be an adventure. You need to seek the Lord and pray about that yourself. And the second friend also called me. Again, they had no idea what we were going through, and he just started to share about transition and that feeling of unrest can often be the Lord actually agitating you to move out of somewhere. And so we started to pray about that. We were kind of connected with this house and with Extreme Conference. We'd been coming up here, and every time we'd come up here, you know, our friends would be like, oh, when are you moving here? And we're like, never. We'd love to just love coming up here, love being involved with Extreme and just hanging out, but we're not moving up here and it's too humid. So when this opportunity, or not this opportunity, this, I suppose, word from the Lord, we started to pray about it, and a very bizarre thing happened. We started to get excited about the idea. We're like, oh, okay. And we continue to pray, seeking the Lord. He drew us to Hebrews 11. Who knows Hebrews 11? That by faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, and you know, leaving the land that was known into the unknown, by faith, by faith, by faith. And that chapter kept coming up time and time and time again. So it became abundantly clear, Lord, you're speaking, we just need to trust you. So we decided January 11, Hebrews 11, we're like, yep, let's just attach some faith to this. January 11, we're moving to Mackay. We didn't have any jobs, house, anything lined up. So I remember it was January 10th, a Friday. We were packing. We had a couple of friends from Mackay come down with a truck. We had my in-laws from Bundy come up to help us move. We had a bond clean booked in our rental for the next Monday. Like, this move was happening and we had nowhere to go. We didn't know what we're doing yet. We'd applied for a bunch of rentals, sight unseen. Some we got knocked back on, others we just didn't hear about. But we're like, Lord, you said, so we trust you. This is your word. So we wouldn't be doing this if you didn't tell us. So you got to make it happen. And we gave ourselves a deadline of 12 o'clock on that Friday. If we didn't hear back about a rental, then we're just going to have to put the move off. We'll have to push it back. We'll have to cancel the bond clean. And I distinctly remember I was in the garage and sorting through all of the boxes. We had the truck there and, you know, organizing things so that, you know, it's all in the right order so that we can get the food out first and whatnot. And then this thought starts going through my head. Oh, but if you don't get the house and you have to delay the move, maybe don't pack the food because you'll need to eat. Who knows, we might be here for another 2 days or another 2 weeks. What about the fridge? Maybe don't put the fridge in yet either. And so these thoughts of fear started to come into my mind. And so I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Started to rearrange the boxes in this way of like, we can put stuff that's not, you know, needed in there and whatever. And then the word of the Lord, like I heard his voice so clearly, just pull me up right there, then and there in the garage. And he said, hey, are you going to pack in faith or are you going to pack in fear? And I was like, oh, okay. Lord, you said January 11, we're moving, so let's go. And no word of a lie, at 11:45, quarter to 12, I get a call from an unknown number. It's a real estate agent. Hey, sorry we haven't got back to you. There's a house here. Yep, you're good to move in tomorrow. All good to go. So we're like, thank you, Lord. Such a ride. But the journey of trusting him, when he speaks, when his word goes before us, we can trust him that he's going to fulfill what he has said. Amen. It says in Proverbs 3:5, proverb I'm sure we all heard, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding. No, lean not on your own understanding. There's this picture here that trusting in him involves, we might get into situations that often look like we're not walking with common sense because it's not our own understanding, hey? Because his ways are higher than our ways. Trusting him can often contradict our own level of understanding. Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This psalm highlights a bit of a pattern for me that we can attain trusting in the Lord. If we seek him, and we know him, and we know his nature as Father, as Provider, as Comforter, as Counselor, Everlasting Father, then we can trust him. Seek, know, trust. And I think, you know, when we truly know the Lord, when we truly know him, the natural byproduct is trusting in him. So what's the alternatives to trust? Trusting in the Lord look like? Could be trusting in ourselves. Lord, I know you're saying these things, but I've got it, it's all good. I don't think you're trustworthy. Or maybe it's that, you know, guided by the ups and downs of our own emotions or feelings. Trusting in others, everyone else. I think obviously a level of this is important. We should trust people in our world, but we can't put their voice above the word of the Lord. We can't put all our hope in people either, can we? It might look like doubting God, doubting his word, or even doubting the nature of God. This has been part of our human condition since the beginning, hey? Adam and Eve in the garden, the serpent comes up. Did God really say? It's doubting his nature. In Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. If you're lacking joy, if you're lacking peace, ask the Lord, is there an area in my life that I'm not trusting you in? And surrender that to him. I've seen this time and time and time again. If I'm feeling anxious or worried, it's like, oh, okay, what area of my life am I holding on to without actually fully believing in the Lord and his nature that I can lay this at his feet and that he's faithful? I think too, it's important, speaking of peace, to not replace peace with the word comfort. Often we can get the two confused. I know I can. It says that peace surpasses understanding. Often comfort is something that we control with our own circumstances, isn't it? We've got the comfy couch that we've bought. We've got the comfy bed. We've got, you know, our comforts, our creature comforts. This is my limits. This is my safety net. I'll stay in here. This is peace, right? No. Peace surpasses our understanding. So that means we can be in the midst of chaos, but have peace. Because peace is an internal reality, isn't it? Comfort's often a byproduct of controlling external circumstances, but peace is an internal reality. I think of Jesus when he's on the boat and there's a storm happening. The disciples, what are they doing? They're looking at external circumstances and they're freaking out. Whereas Jesus is just having a good old nap. His peace in internal reality. Then what happens? We know the story. The disciples wake him up and then he speaks. And that internal reality then it changes the external situation around him, doesn't it? That's trust. I need to keep moving along. The time is flying by. The second one is wait. Wait, we see this three times in this one psalm as well. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 34, there's a similar promise attached. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. There's a link here between waiting on the Lord and inheriting the earth, inheriting the land. Waiting on the Lord, inheriting the land. And the other time we see this mentioned is in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Who knows, that sounds familiar from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So the key in waiting is meekness. It's holding back. Meekness isn't being weak. It's restraining that strength. It's going, I am going to sit back. I'm going to restrain that sense of control that I need to go out and make it all happen in my own strength and allow the Lord to go before us. I think, in verse 34, when it talks about that he will exalt us, it's much better for the Lord to exalt us rather than us trying to exalt ourselves. Amen. The Lord blesses one, but he opposes the other. It says he opposes the proud. Waiting, meekness. This is all about resting in the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. That sounds like waiting, hey? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. So I think about the opposite of waiting. Hurry, striving, rushing ahead. I was listening to a sermon from pastor called Aaron Smith, and he defines striving like this: following Jesus at a pace faster than he is leading. Has anyone been there? I know I have. 100%. It's like the Lord might feel the Lord say something. You're like, cool, thanks God, got it. Oh, you're still back there. Oh, okay, cool. But I'm walking in your ways. I'm doing what you said. I'm going out. I'm making it happening. Oh, but Lord, I can't hear your voice anymore. Why aren't you? Oh, I've rushed ahead. If we are moving ahead of what God has spoken, it doesn't sound like waiting on the Lord, does it? We'll end up trying to conquer the world rather than receiving it simply as an inheritance. Says in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and he will strengthen your heart, all you who wait for the Lord. So remembering that when we're talking about meekness and restrained strength, that picture that happens now, we wait, we're being meek. And then it says that the Lord actually strengthens us. So we're not needing to lean on our own strength or our own ability. We receive his strength. He strengthens our heart. He strengthens us. Number three is dwell. We see this a few times again. Trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I love that picture. His faithfulness being our nourishment, our source of nutrition, everything that we need. Verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Doing good, there's that element of deeds, which is the that link that we need with faith. Faith without deeds is dead. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. That's not a fleeting promise, is it? Dwelling in it forever. This is speaking all about that abiding lifestyle. Dwelling with the Lord. In Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. There is protection and there is safety when we dwell with the Lord. Amen. I remember a few years ago, so I used to be a freelance graphic designer, self-employed. And who knows, if you're self-employed and you're running a service-based business, if you stop working, the money stops coming in. And it was roughly around this time of year, a couple of years ago, coming up to Christmas, and my wife and I, we were going to head down to Bundy to see her family and have some time off. And I was like, Lord, if I stop working, are we going to pay for the bills? How are we going to, like, we need to eat over Christmas. We need to put fuel in the car to get down there. I started to worry about finances and not resting in the Lord, not trusting him. And I got a random phone call, and I picked it up, and they said, hey, we're friends of a previous client of yours. They said you did their website. We're wondering if you could do ours. So I was like, oh, awesome. So I sent them a quote. This time around, I was like, I'm just going to up the amount that I'm going to quote and quote, at an amount that I feel my work is worth at. So I did that, sent the email away. They called me back straight away and they were like, cool, sounds great. Send us your bank details. We'll pay 50% of the invoice right now. Don't bother starting on the website until the new year. We're in no rush. I was like, what? Just does not happen. Thank you, Lord. There was provision there for us to obviously, be okay over the Christmas break. That's the Father's gift, hey? We don't need to worry. We don't need to stress. John 15, it says, abide in me and I in you. That remaining in the Lord. And there's that promise of fruit. That's the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And Psalm 23 verse 6 finishes off, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what's the opposite of dwelling? Maybe it's departing, visiting his presence, and then it's all good. I'll just go and do my own thing again. And oh, Lord, I need you again. I'll just come in and, oh, God, you're so good. All right, cheers. Thanks. Got enough of what I need. I'll choose when I want to obey. I'll choose when I want to abide. I'll abide today. Tomorrow, nah, can't be bothered. I don't need your presence. Or maybe it's just completely rejecting his presence and going, it's all good. I'm comfortable. I've got what I need. I'm just going to do my thing. But we need to remember there are blessings and promises available to us when we are inside that land of inheritance, amen? And that is the abiding lifestyle, remaining in the Lord, dwelling in him. In Psalm 16, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So in this abiding lifestyle, our joy is made full, and there are pleasures, blessings, reward that are for us forever. That right hand is a metaphor, is a symbol of the Lord's strength and his authority. So the way I see it is, you know, that is us coming under and submitting ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, saying it's his way above my own. I submit to the authority of Jesus, obeying what he commands, what he says. So I live in his presence, abiding lifestyle. I live under his hand, submit my life to his lordship, and I receive fullness of joy, blessings, pleasures forevermore. Man, sounds pretty good to me, don't you think? And number four, delighting, enjoying his presence. Verse four, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 11, again, which we spoke about before, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace. How beautiful is that, hey? It's not just a little measure of peace, an abundance of peace that's available for us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So not only can we delight in the Lord, but when we are walking a lifestyle of surrender and obedience, that actually brings the Lord delight. How beautiful. We can enjoy him, and he will bless us in ways that are so personalized to us. I remember a number of years ago, Beck and I, we watched the movie. Has anyone seen it? I Can Only Imagine. The story of the guys that wrote that song, I Can Only Imagine. And, you know, it's about a broken relationship with his father. And then there's healing. And the father comes to the Lord. And just beautiful story. And Beck and I, we finished watching that movie. And we're just like in tears. Like it is, I highly recommend it. And but then there was a sense of ache in our hearts. I lost my dad when I was 13. Beck, her father's not in his life because of just certain decisions he's made. And so we had this ache in our hearts that was like, oh man, that love of the father, like I need that. And without us really verbalizing anything, I remember we just started to sing that song. And before we knew it, we were both on our faces in the lounge room, overcome with such an overwhelming sense of the Father's love and his delight. And it was probably for both of us the first marked encounter where we experienced the Lord as our Father in that way. And I love that when we delight in him, he knows what we need. He knows how to minister to us in ways that are so deep and true to us. Amen. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Speaks about a tree that is firmly planted and fruitful. It has strength and promise of a strength and a promise of fruitfulness when we delight in him. Psalm 112 speaks about a blessing on the descendants of those who fear the Lord and delight greatly in his commandments. Derek Kidner puts delight this way, a deliberate redirection of one's emotions. This is an intentional redirection. Going, Lord, I delight in you. I enjoy you. I love you. What does not delighting in the Lord look like? Maybe it's feelings of discontentedness, disappointment. Maybe that sense of obligation, or that sense of religion, I better pray, I guess, to this God up in the sky, or else, better come to church, or else fill in the blanks. No, we can delight in him. He is our Heavenly Father there to be enjoyed. Team, maybe you can come and join me. Those are our four things that we can hold on to. Trusting in the Lord, waiting on the Lord, dwelling with him, and delighting in him. It all comes down to letting go of our sense of control, doesn't it? acknowledging He is Lord, He is good, He loves us, He has good things for us. And there are blessings and inheritances and rewards attached that are forevermore. Rather than looking on to those that might not be walking with the Lord and seem to be doing all amazing things or whatever, it says that that stuff is fleeting. But this life we know is such a short time in comparison to eternity, amen? Who wants those riches and those blessings that last forevermore? That is only found in the Lord. I think it's so beautiful at this time of year. Like I said earlier, He's the ultimate gift, amen? That moment in time where He came down, He forsook that throne, He humbled Himself, became a baby, and He gave of Himself time and time and time again for us to receive Him fully, to worship Him fully, to bless Him fully. And I wonder this morning, you know, we're looking at those two lines of the rewards of the faithful and righteous and the warnings of not fretting or worrying. I wonder if you might be sitting there and going, yeah, I think maybe I've been doubting more than I've been trusting. I've been rushing ahead more than I've been waiting. I've been in and out of God's presence, or I haven't even acknowledged His presence, rather than making my home in Him, dwelling with Him and abiding in Him. Or I felt really obliged just to go through the motions and to pray and do the religious thing, and God, I don't really enjoy Him anymore. He's just there. I sense that the Lord would just like to minister to some people this morning. If you're like, yeah, I want to come back into that abiding lifestyle where I can be surrendered and I can trust in Him, can wait, dwell and delight. Maybe we can all stand to our feet this morning. Why don't we just close our eyes and let's just take a moment and let's be real. We can just say, Holy Spirit, show me areas of my life that I haven't been trusting You in. Show me areas of my life where I've been striving and rushing ahead instead of waiting. Lord, I want to know what it is to dwell in the land and to feed on Your faithfulness, to abide with You, to remain in You. Lord, I want to delight in You. If that's you this morning, I want to open up the altar. Just give you a chance to respond and say, Lord, come and meet me. You are the provider. In You, I have everything I need. So I just encourage you. The altar's open this morning as we just spend a few minutes in worship, just to say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I need all of You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are our provider. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You have everything that we need. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that we can abide in You. We can dwell in Your land. Lord, we don't want to look to the left or to the right. We don't want to compare or be envious or be fretting or be a people that are worried. Lord, we just cling onto You and receive that promise of an abundance of peace. Lord, help us. Help us to remain in You. Oh Lord, would You pour out Your Spirit? Would You just minister to our hearts this morning, we pray, as we acknowledge You, our all in all, the only one we need.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Might sing, He is wonderful.
Let's just spend a few minutes in worship this morning, lavishing our love on the Lord.